has the media done a poor job when it comes to reporting issues like this or events like this?
Yes, I think the challenge we have with that, especially around very public suicides, is that, you know, information is king. It needs to get out quickly. Oftentimes when there's a public suicide, it's very difficult to kind of avoid the graphic details or the events that took place. But those are the things that we want to discourage, because oftentimes people who are vulnerable to suicide risk, that the potential for harm is real. And it's also based on research that we have around suicide, contagion, or copycat suicides. So that's something that we really want to promote in working with our media friends and partners, is that how can we cover a story at the same time, use words or phrases maybe that are less harmful, more hopeful and helpful for people who are affected by the loss. And that's something that we continue to work with our media friends and partners on, and always making sure that the Caroline number is front and center. That's, you know, 877-266-4357, that number is there all the time. And that's something that we continue to do and work with.
Can you give an example of some of those words, some of those messages, some of those images that might provide the catalyst for suicide contagion?
It's really those graphic details. You know, it's the showing the method, showing the location, and also if the media is continuing to share those images and those graphic details, that prolonged exposure, I think, is something that we want to prevent and reduce as much as possible. So again, it's the potential for that information to be sensationalized, or the potential for someone to be maybe glamorized. An example would be, instead of showing maybe a picture of the scene or the body or the method that was used or the location, is it possible just to show a picture of the person from a school photo or from a work photo or something else that doesn't really depict the scene or the details of what occurred at the event? It's just helping to kind of just to soften that for people that, and again, we're talking about safe messaging, promoting help and healing, and being sensitive to those who may be vulnerable, which is, you know, primarily a very small proportion of the population. But nonetheless, it's still important that we think about them in a way that when we go about talking about suicide or reporting on suicide, that, again, is promoting help and care. And it also sends the message that suicide is preventable. You know, and that's a kind of a – sometimes it's difficult because some people believe that it's not preventable. So it is 100% preventable.
So we should never say – I think there was an example on your website – Kurt Cobain kills himself with a shotgun, or other media organizations might say a successful suicide stopped traffic in downtown yesterday, that sort of thing. That would be examples of inappropriate messaging.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
You mentioned earlier about the potential for suicide contagion. Can you expand a little bit about that and tell me if there was any research on that particular subject? How prevalent does that happen? Is there a pattern, or is there a time frame, that sort of thing?
First off, it is rare. It is a rare event, but it does happen, and we need to pay attention to that. There's been about approximately 50 studies that I know of that's been done on this. And generally, we're talking about youth who tend to be a bit more vulnerable related to suicide contagion. Research also tells us it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that they knew or acquaintance or a family member or loved one. It can be just someone at their school that they had, you know, no relationship with, but or someone, you know, in the community that they identify with in some way, shape, or form. Or it could be, a celebrity. We know that celebrities can have an impact on people's thoughts or suicidal thoughts or behaviors. So those are things that's why the safe messaging is really important for us and to consider those issues. But our youth, I think, is really the population that we're, I think, most focused on when it comes to issues surrounding contagion. I know here in Alaska that in some communities we see what we call clusters, where there's been maybe some suicides, and maybe not necessarily in one particular village, maybe a region that is experienced. And we know that people are connected here in Alaska in a lot of different ways, not necessarily just by one location or community. Those are key factors for us. And how we move together to promote help and healing, I think, is the key consideration. And then also that if we recognize there's been a suicide, let's say at a school setting or somewhere that's been very public and very open, that we extend our prevention efforts there. We we make sure we have our eyes and ears open to those youth who may be exhibiting similar signs or symptoms. Social media, very, very important. And we're also monitoring social media because that's generally where that communication is happening between students. And then the other piece of this is, too, we don't want another young person who's possibly getting information to shelter that from a trusted adult that could be in a position to help that person.